Am I on? Very good. Okay, I count it a great privilege to be able to speak to you today. And let me tell you what's happened in my life, because I now have two brand new grandsons, okay? Now, how that came about, okay, is that my daughter has two boys, and she's unable to have any more children because they were real difficult births. And so 3 years ago, they put in to adopt two children from South Africa, okay? And by the way, they speak Wahuli, and so they're having a difficult time talking to them. But they arrived yesterday from there. She went down to South Africa, her and her husband, and all the paperwork had to be signed, and everything went just like clockwork. And we've been praying for this for a long time. And so yesterday at 8 o'clock, okay, in the evening, they showed up in Washington where they're at. And so she now has four boys, okay? The one was a newborn, and the other one was his brother. They're brothers. One of them was 1 year old, and one was a newborn. But it's been 3 years, so they're now three and four. And so I have two new grandsons, okay? I haven't met them yet. Their pictures are supposed to be on the internet, and we haven't got to the internet yet to see what they look like. But we'll do that later on today. So I'm really praising the Lord for that. And so let's pray. Oh, gracious and loving Father, we thank you for all of the things that you continue to just bless us with. We are so blessed, Father, by you, and you're such a gracious and wonderful God. And so, Father, I thank you for the privilege of being able to speak in your behalf today, and I pray that you would just speak through me, erase anything of my own, but be you that would speak through me. So we thank you again, Father, for this privilege. Bless and guide, we ask it in your precious and wonderful name. Amen. That song we sang was fantastic, wasn't it? Wasn't it great? Oh, he is so wonderful that we cannot even begin to understand. Today I'm going to look at Palm Sunday. But it's probably going to be in a little bit different way than you think about it, and that's okay. So if you will, turn to Luke 19. And by the way, I'm using an old King James. This was my very first study Bible. It's over 60 years old, by the way. And you, but it's still a good Bible, okay? It's a Scofield Bible. It's one of the first ones that he wrote. And so that's the Bible that I'm going to be using, because it's a King James. And most of you, I think, probably have a King James. And so turn, if you will, to Luke 19. And I want to begin reading in verse 29. And we'll stand, if you will, in honor of God's word as we read together verses 29 through 46. And it came to pass, when he had come near to Bethany, or Bethpage and Bethany, at the mount called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying, "Go into the village opposite you, in which at your entering you shall find a colt tied, on which yet never man sat. Loose him, and bring him here. And if any man ask you, 'Why do you loose him?' thus shall you say unto him, 'Because the Lord hath need of him.' And they that were sent went their way, and found even as he had said unto them. And as they were loosening the coat, its owner said to them, 'Why loose you the coat?' And they said, 'The Lord hath need of him.' And they brought him to Jesus, and they set their garments upon the coat, and they set Jesus on him. And as he went, they spread their clothes in the way. And when he was come near, even at the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, 'Blessed be the King who cometh in the name of the Lord. peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And some of the Pharisees from among the multitude said unto him, Master, rebuke thy disciples. And he answered and said unto them, I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. And when he had gone near, he beheld the city and wept over it, saying, If thou hadst known, even thou, at least in this day, in thy day, the things which beholdeth become thy peace, but now they are hidden from thine eyes. For the day shall come upon thee that thy enemies shall cast a trench around or about thee, and compress thee around, and keep thee in on every side, and shall lay thee even with the ground, and thy children within thee, and they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another, because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation. And he went into the temple and began to cast out that sold in it, and them that bought, saying unto them, It is written, My house is the house of prayer, yet you have made it a den of thieves. You may be seated. Now, note the word and in verse 45. And the reason I say that is Luke doesn't say that it was the next day and the next day. He just says and, which is a conjunction of continuation. I believe, instead of being Monday, I believe he went and cast it out on Sunday, okay? Now, most of you, if you have a translation, another translation, it'll say in there Monday. And I'm going to tell you why in a few minutes, why I believe it was the same day. What were they buying and what were they selling? Have you thought about that? It was lambs for the Passover. They were selling lambs for the people that were come. Now, you need to understand that Passover was one of those three times in which all of the men from all over the country who were Jews were to come to Israel to worship. And so it was filled with people from everywhere. And so the priests at this time figured out a way to make money. If they would take these lambs and sell them to people, okay, then they could make money. And so, but they were charging exorbitant prices. And so Jesus said it made that a den of thieves. And that's what he was making reference to. Now turn, if you will, with me to John 12. John 12, verse 1. I want to read just a few verses. Verse 1, Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, who had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. Chapter 11 was all about Lazarus being raised from the dead. Okay. Now drop down to verse 12. On the next day, many people that were come to the feast, that's all these people from everywhere, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took branches of palm trees and went forth to meet him and cried, Hosanna! Blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord. And Jesus, when he had found a young ass, set upon it, as it is written, Fear not, daughter of Zion, behold, thy King cometh sitting on an ass's coat. Now, what he's referring to here, okay, is 6 days before the Passover. I have a chart that I gave you, okay? Look at that chart. Because 6 days before the Passover was the 14th day of Nisan, and that was a Friday, okay? So 6 days before that would have been Saturday, which would have been a Sabbath. Okay? Now, some of you have asked me about a Sabbath. How long is a Sabbath day's journey? Well, according to the rabbis, it began way back in ancient times of being 6,000 cubits. Or, I'm sorry, 2,000 cubits, okay? Now, a cubit is 18 inches, and so that would have been what? 3,600 feet? 3,600 feet. Now, they get that from the law that prevented them to come any closer to the Ark of the Covenant than 2,000 cubits. And so they assumed, well, this may be a Sabbath day's walk, okay? But that didn't last very long. Later on, the rabbis found out a way, or the Pharisees, and found out a way to make that a little longer. So it ended up being about 6,000 cubits during Jesus' day. That's a pretty good ways. That's probably about a mile and a half. And so we believe that Jesus was staying in the Garden of Gethsemane. Now, the Garden of Gethsemane, okay, was a mount on Mount Olives, okay? It was an olive garden. And in that, the word Gethsemane, okay, Gethsemane is a Hebrew word, and that means olive press. There was an olive press there in the garden, and at this time, it's not olive season, okay? Olives are not harvested in the spring. They're harvested in the fall. And so these olive presses would lay empty. Now, they were large, great, huge, some of them were in caves. And so many of the scholars believe that the owner of this Gethsemane allowed Jesus and his disciples to stay there. And so it would have been a very short walk from there to where Lazarus had been raised, and because that's just on the other side of the mountain. And so that would have been Saturday. Now, the next day is Palm Sunday, okay? And that's a very, very special day. That was the day, and we looked at, about him waving all of these palm trees. Now, in John, verses 14 and 15, let me read that again. And Jesus, when he had found a young colt, sat upon it, as it is written, "Fear not, daughter of Zion, behold, thy king cometh sitting on an ass's colt." Okay? Now, this is a passage of Scripture, okay, that is a written passage of Scripture and a prophecy, okay, that is given. Now, that prophecy is Zechariah 9:9, okay? And I want you to turn to that. Zechariah 9:9. Now, let me say a few things about your Bible. Your Bible didn't have chapters and verses in it, okay? In the original text, it was all one Bible. And so the writers, when they wanted you to know about another prophecy or another thing that was being written down, they would give you a short sentence of that, okay, prophecy. And the people that Jesus was talking to would have been Jewish, or this John was writing to would have been Jewish people. And so they would have known exactly what he was talking about. Okay, but we don't. So what we have to do is look up the passage, okay? Now, they made it easy for us to look that up, but not until after the printing press was invented and they put all these chapters and sentences. So today it's really easy for us, okay? So it's our responsibility, okay, as Christian, when he does that, for you to look up that passage and see what it really says, okay? So let's see what Zechariah really is saying. He says, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just," that's the word just or righteous, "and having salvation," okay, very important, "lowly and riding upon an ass and upon a colt, the foal of an ass." Now, you're horse people, or a lot of you are. Tell me, how old does a foal have to be before you stop calling it a foal? Give me an idea.
Well, it depends, but 2 years probably.
Is it that old? 2 years would be too old? I mean, 2 years before you do that? Yeah. Okay.
You know, usually you wait until after that to put any weight on it.
Okay. In other words, this is a very young, what I'm getting at, this is a very, very young animal that Jesus is riding on, okay? And there's a reason for that, okay? There's a reason for that, but if you don't know your Old Testament, okay, you don't know what the reason is. I want you to turn, please, now to Exodus 13. Exodus 13:13. And here we have just a little passage of scripture that gives us some information. It says, "And every firstling of an ass thou shalt redeem with a lamb. And if thou wilt not redeem it, then thou shalt break its neck, and all the firstborn of man among the children thou shalt redeem." But the part of that that I want you to remember is the part about an ass, which we know was a donkey, okay? A donkey was an unclean animal. Why was it an unclean animal? Because it didn't have a cloven hoof or it didn't chew the cud, okay? So, if you wanted to keep this animal, okay, in your possession, then you had to take a lamb to the priests and offer it as a sacrifice to redeem this animal, okay? Now there's a lot there. There's a lot being said there, okay? And so this was the little animal that Jesus rode in to Jerusalem riding, okay? So why is he doing this, okay? Now, we call that a triumphal entry. It was, because he's triumphing over Satan, but he's not riding in Jerusalem to announce himself as king. They want him to be king, but he didn't come to be king, so he's not coming to be the king. What's he coming for? To be the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. He is coming on that day, because that's Lamb Selection Day, okay? On Lamb Selection Day, which was the 9th of Nisan, was the day before the 10th. The lamb had to be taken up on the 10th day and kept in their house for 4 days. They had to love on it. They had to, so that when they killed it on the 14th, it'd be difficult for them, okay? Because it represented Christ, okay? Now, he is the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. And so he rides in on Jerusalem, announcing himself, riding on a donkey that was a sinful animal, okay? That was an animal that was not, whatever you call it. Anyway, he was an unclean animal. And he did that purposely to announce to the people, "I am the true Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world." And so why? What did they do? Well, the same people that cried out, okay, the very same people that cried out that he was king, they wanted to make him king, but what did they want him to make king for? So he could defeat the Roman Empire. That's the reason they wanted him king. Anyone that could raise people from the dead, wow, he would be a great king, wouldn't he? A great leader. You wouldn't lose any of your army. So they were wanting him to be king. But Jesus didn't come to be king. And that's why he said, "Look, if you knew what I really came for, I came to bring peace between you and God, not with men." He said, "But you failed to recognize that. And so because you failed to recognize that, then you're going to put me on a cross, okay? And you're going to kill me, okay? You're going to put me on a cross." And that's exactly what happens. The same people that were hollering, okay, and shouting, "Blessed be the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord," are the same ones that 4 days later are going to say, "Crucify him, put him on the cross. We have no king but Caesar." The very same people. people are going to do that. So Jesus is riding in on Palm Sunday, on the day that they were to go out in their fields and select a lamb. But the Jews had become lazy. They didn't want to go out in the fields and hunt for a lamb. That's too much work. You know, we kind of get the same way sometimes, don't we? Okay. They would rather go to the temple and buy one and pay an exorbitant price for it because they were too lazy to go out and do what the Lord wanted them to do. Okay. Aren't we the same way? Don't we become lazy sometimes when we know what we're supposed to do, but we don't do it? Prayer is especially that, okay? It's really difficult for us to spend time on our knees in prayer that we ought to be doing, isn't it? Well, they did the same thing. The Jews were they weren't any different than we were. They were the same way. And so instead of going out and doing what they were supposed to do, they would buy a lamb, okay? Now, they had to keep it up in their house for 4 days, okay? So that they would love on it and, you know, and know, appreciate it. And then on the next day, which was Friday, okay, they would crucify him. Now, I give you a chart, okay? Look at this chart, because you need to understand Jewish time, okay? I put a Jewish day at the bottom, okay? It starts off at 6 o'clock p.m. Now, 6 o'clock p.m. Sunday night, okay, would have been Monday. And that's kind of hard for us to understand, but it would have been. So Monday at 6 o'clock Sunday night, they had to have the lamb. They had to take the lamb up and keep it in their house Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. And then on Friday, they were to kill it. Okay, now since Jesus is that lamb, he has to die, okay, at 3 o'clock the next day. That was the word between the evenings. So you see on there the sixth hour. In some of your Bibles, it's the sixth hour. Roman time is 3 o'clock. Exactly 3 o'clock that day, Jesus is going to be crucified on the cross, okay? That's exactly the same moment that all of the lambs were killed back in the first time, okay? That they killed it then. Between the evenings means between the evening 6 hours, okay? And so, if you look at the chart, I showed you exactly what all this was on Passover. On Passover, which was Thursday evening, Roman time, but Friday morning, Jesus had to eat the Passover in the morning with his disciples, or the next, actually it was the same day, because he had to die that afternoon. And so the Passover was eaten, actually, well, it was Friday, okay? But it was Friday Jewish time. It had been Thursday night our time, okay? So you need to understand that. Now, he ate the Passover, okay? And then sometime after midnight, they left the Passover room, and they went to the Garden of Gethsemane. And remember, there he was praying with his disciples, and they kept falling to sleep, okay? You know the story and what's going on. And then they came to get him, okay? They came to arrest him, and it was about 3 o'clock in the morning when they came to arrest him. And they weren't supposed to arrest at nighttime. It was still dark. So they came, and that's, I'll show you there, at the time in the garden. And then after they got him in the garden, he went through all those trials, remember, until they put him on the cross at exactly 9 o'clock in the morning. That would have been the third hour of Jewish time. Okay? Then at noon, at 12 o'clock noon, what happened? Darkness, okay? Darkness came over, and so it was dark until the ninth hour, and on the ninth hour is when he said, "It is finished," okay? And he died. Now, they had 3 hours, approximately 3 hours, to get him off the cross, wrap his body up, and put him in the tomb. And apparently they did, because they got him into the tomb just before that night. It's 6 o'clock, which should have been the Sabbath, because he had to be put in the grave during the Sabbath time. And then we know, what day did he rise? Sunday, okay? Now, it was probably Sunday after midnight Roman time. Now, the Bible tells us that he was there 3 days, right, in the grave. Now, you need to understand that Jewish time means any part of a day is included as a day. So he was there just a little bit on Friday, then he was there all day Saturday, and then some on Sunday, which gave it 3 days, okay? So he was there exactly as he said, 3 days, okay? And so that's what we have on Palm Sunday, okay? Is him coming into us on that day. But on the cross, on the cross, Jesus said something. Just before he died, okay, on the cross, what did he do? He prayed to the Father and said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." You know what? They didn't. They didn't recognize him as who he claimed to be. They didn't recognize him, okay? And there's a reason for it. The reason they didn't recognize him was so that you, as Gentiles, could be brought into the kingdom. Do you know, if he had been recognized as the king, you wouldn't be here? No. Now, he's going to come as king, but that's his second coming. Okay, and I think it's very close, people. We're getting very close to that second coming of Christ. He's coming very soon. Now, they had an excuse, so to speak, because God blinded their eyes. But you don't. You don't have any excuse at all. You come in here and you hear about Christ as your Savior every Sunday. You're told how to be saved. Okay, now if you don't accept that, okay, if you don't believe that, and you don't believe that he was who he claimed to be, and you don't accept him as your personal Savior, just like they had to take that lamb up as a personal lamb, then you know where you're going to end up? You know where you're going to end up. I don't have to tell you. You know exactly where you're going to end up. Okay? So you're without excuse. If you're not here today, if you are here today, let's say, and you have not accepted Christ as your Savior, if you haven't personally invited him to come into your heart, okay, then you're going to go to a place where you don't want to go, okay? And so you, without excuse, don't say, "Wait a minute, I've got to tomorrow," because you may not have tomorrow. We don't know. Time may end tomorrow. We don't know. You may be killed as you're going home today in a car. So you need to accept Christ today if you haven't, okay? Because he is the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. That means all the sins, Jews and Gentiles. He's the one that removed the sin. And if you don't accept that sacrifice of sin offering for you, then that's where you're going to end up going, okay? Thank you for listening to me. Preacher, I'm going to turn it over to you.